City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm.
Talk to Trisha on City Talk 105.9.
Simon Lannan made headlines last year when he completed an Olympic-style triathlon to raise money for a local hospital. Now, a triathlon, just in case you don't know, that's more than 30 miles of swimming, cycling and running. And it's a pretty tough challenge, however fit you are. But what made his achievement so remarkable is the fact that he suffers from a potentially fatal brain condition. Since he was a child, Simon has had, get this, a staggering 29 operations for hydrocephalus. That's what used to be called water on the brain. Well, last year's race was the first stage of a fundraising campaign to raise £60,000 for the Walton Centre. Now, this is the hospital where Simon has been treated since he was 6 years old. In April, he plans to jog the length of the country from Land's End in Cornwall to John O'Groats in Scotland. And when I read about this guy in the newspaper, I said to my producer, I simply have to have him on the show. And he joins us now. So, Simon, welcome to City Talk.
Hello.
I am so impressed. So impressed. So can we start at the beginning? What does hydrocephalus actually mean?
Well, it basically means that the fluid on my brain doesn't drain away naturally. So I've got two shunts in, which are tubes, basically, from the main ventricles in my brain down into my abdominal cavity.
Right.
And drain the fluid away because it doesn't drain away naturally.
Yeah. And as I said in the introduction, 29 operations.
Yeah. It doesn't seem that long ago, but I got diagnosed with it when I was 3 years old. And between the age of six and my age now, I've had brain surgery 29 times for various different things. So I think four of them were major surgery.
But how much time did you spend in hospital then?
In the early years, when I was having a lot of operations close together, I think I averaged about 6 months out of every year, actually, in hospital. And the rest of the time was a lot recovering.
What about school?
That suffered a lot. I was always playing catch-up in school. I had everything, really, because of my condition. I think when I was 16, 17, I had... post-operative depression, I was overweight, I had low self-esteem. I've had every challenge, really, that can be thrown at me. I think I've had it. Yeah.
But let's go back to the beginning. What were the symptoms of your illness?
The symptoms, I was just... the symptoms were nothing but what my mum noticed. She noticed that I had a lump, on my head.
Yeah.
An abnormal shape on the side of my head, so she took me to the local doctor to find out what it was, and he basically said there was nothing wrong with me because I didn't actually have any physical symptoms then, no headaches or nothing.
Right.
And he just sort of said, keep an eye on him and we'll take it from there. But that was when, parental instinct or what have you, my parents said, well, we need to get this looked in further. So that's when they first took me to the children's ward at the Walton Centre, where they scanned me and found a brain cyst. And that's caused by, hydrocephalus, which is, that the fluid collects, which causes the cyst.
Because in most people that drains away.
Yeah, in most people that drains away, yeah. Where it wasn't, it was just collecting.
Did you get headaches?
Not at that point, not at three, no. Not at that point. It was just like we'll keep close eye on him and see what happens. And then it was at 6 years old, I started blacking out, I started taking seizures, started suffering from headaches, and that was when things got really serious then, yeah.
Now, you said 6 months of a year in hospital. That must have affected your friendships.
It did. I don't think I ever got a chance really to fit into cliques of youngsters and really get involved with things, because when I did and I started to develop that, I was rooted back out of schooling and then back into hospital for something else.
Did you get angry?
But all my anger was directed in the right way, thankfully. It was all directed at my condition. It was all directed at what was wrong with me, not at specific people. really.
But did you get angry with life? Like, oh, you know, you just get into the stride of things. And, oh, bloody hell, here am I back in hospital.
Yeah, I did. But, you know, I'm doing a lot of positive stuff now, and I'm doing things now, and I wouldn't wish anything else, really, because it's developed my character to where I am now, you know.
And was that point when you were 16, you mentioned at 16 that you got post-operative depression. What was that like for you? What did you go through?
Well, I had major surgery at that point. I had what's called a subtemporal decompression and a Chiari operation.
That?
Basically, they took a portion of my skull bone away at the side of my head and took the Chiari bone away in my neck within a close period of time. And I had to have steroids to build my metabolism up, and I had to have steroids while I was in hospital, and the same when I come out, and it was 6 months to do all that, but then it was a 12-month recovery period, and I was going through, you know, adolescence and everything at the time.
So during that recovery period, was that all in bed or at home or in hospital?
It was all, you know, 6 months was in hospital, and then, you know, 6 months of it was at home. But because of all that, yeah, I did. I was a 36 waist, I think, when I was 15, 16. I was overweight. I had no confidence. I had no self-esteem. Mm. I was very angry at, you know, like you say, angry at myself, angry at my condition.
Yeah.
I was not really a nice person to be around at the time. Just thankfully, I had a lot of family and friends who cared about me and the Walton Centre, you know.
So how did you turn things around?
That was when it all started, really. I think it was when I was 16, going on to 17. You know, I decided to go for a bit of a walk, stroke jog. It wasn't very far. It couldn't be very far because I was well overweight.
Yeah.
But I went out and I come back and I felt, you know, loads better. You know, I'd let it some endorphins off, which is what I know now, and... you know, things just seemed to be a little bit more clear. I had a bit more clarity, and it seemed to help me. So I just sort of carried that on, and going around one block, turned to jogging around two blocks, and then three blocks, and then it was a mile. And then,
was it difficult to do? I mean, and not just the weight. Was your condition making it any more difficult than it probably already was?
But after a certain period of time, 15, 20 minutes into things, everything started to get better and clearer.
So tell me at the beginning of the run, what was it like?
Well, first off, you don't want to do it. is the main thing. I just didn't feel like doing it. I didn't feel like going for a jog. I didn't feel like doing anything. I just wanted to sit there and do nothing, you know. Mm. So the hardest part was actually getting started. And, you know, I didn't feel like doing it, and I didn't feel... my energy levels weren't that good, and it was very, very difficult at the beginning, going for runs. But as I got into the run, then, you know, all that started to fade away, and that continues still today. You know, there's days now when the hardest part is getting started. I don't feel like going. I've got a headache or what have you, but I know what the end result is if I do go. So that's what helps me basically get through it.
So how did you get from that to where you are now, which is doing triathlons?
That's how it all begins. You just go with fitness. You go from one thing to the next level. Then you go to the next level. As you get fitter, your confidence goes up. Your self-esteem goes up. You lose weight. You know, and that's what happened with me. And as I got more healthy, more fit, more confident, more focused, I just took it to the next level. So I started swimming as well as jogging. You know, then I started a lot of weight training. And then it just become part of my life and part of my lifestyle. And, you know, I've had that many challenges.
Yeah.
If I'm not getting challenged, I don't feel... things don't feel right if I'm not having a challenge. So,
and then some. Yeah, let me just remind people, I'm talking to Simon Lannan here on Talk to Tricia, City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Simon, you talk about challenges.
Yeah.
What about the fear of death?
In what context?
Do you think I suppose you could almost say you're running towards life and being alive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been three or four times, from what I know about and what I remember, where it was touch and go for me with my condition, and I've made friends with a lot of kids when I was in hospital, and they never made it, they never got through it, and I did, and I'm normal like everybody else. I do have my off days. I'm not Mr. Positive all the time, but I generally, my perspective a little bit different,
How do you not become a victim?
Well, if things are going downhill and on a downward spiral, I tend to focus on what I've got rather than what I haven't got.
How did you learn that? Where did you get that from, do you think?
Through family and through friends at first, through being in hospital and looking at, if you're lying in bed feeling sorry for yourself, or you're looking at your condition and feel sorry for yourself, if you look across the way, there's always someone in a worse position. That was one of the things. And then later on, as I started to develop my career and go in the direction I wanted to go, I plugged into a lot of personal development things, so a lot of reading, a lot of listening to the right stuff, associating with the right people.
Do you think that's important? Do you think that in order to be positive, you need to surround yourself with positive people?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the factors. Because with me, it all starts with your thinking. Your thinking controls how you feel controls how you act controls your results, and your results control your life, in effect. And that's the way I think, and that's the process it goes through. So anything I'm ever going through, I always start with me thinking.
So if that's not right, nothing else is going to be right.
No, if your thinking's not right. But you can't just say to yourself, I'm going to think positive. That just doesn't work. It hasn't with me in the past. I use, goal setting so I know where I'm going. Well, first off, I use fitness, because fitness, going out for a run, gives you
more
clarity.
That's goal setting, isn't it?
Yeah, that is goal setting, yeah.
Next lamppost, if I make it to the next lamppost, I'll get to the corner.
Yeah, well, with me and the jog, it'll be next town, won't it?
next country.
Yeah, the country. But fitness is the main thing. If I've not trained for 3 days, I start going on a downward spiral. Yeah. So fitness is the first thing. Then, it's me goal setting. If you're focusing on where you're going rather than what you're going through,
That's a good idea.
That tends to help. I read a lot of books. I read a lot of PMA books, but I read a lot of autobiographies of people who've gone through challenges as well and stuff themselves. Gives me a different perspective.
I suppose reading about you, what clicked with me was because running through illness and how much it helped, because people say, oh no, you shouldn't do that, take it easy or rest.
Whereas
actually the running and the goal setting of the next corner, the next tree, that dog over there helps you get through the day and the pain.
Yeah, it does. It's definitely, and I think a lot, that's what I never ever do. I always do what I'm comfortable doing. If someone tells me not to do something, then that's from their point of view, that's from the limits they've put on themselves, not mine. So I don't generally always take what people tell me. I don't always take it on board as my limits, because that's theirs, if you see what I mean.
That's their story, not yours.
Not mine. I've been told not to do, and I've never done, is play contact sports, because something did hit me in the head, or I could really be injured. But as far as sports going and not being physically active, I did actually get told by one doctor at one point, I think it was a GP, don't exert yourself.
What did you do? You didn't listen.
I don't think it took it on board. I know it didn't, actually. No, but if you don't exert yourself, if you don't get exercise, then, you know, you're missing out on a lot. You're missing out on a lot.
You're missing out on a fantastic high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Physically, it does a lot for you. The endorphins, you know, it does everything for you, really.
Let me ask you something else, Simon. How old are you now?
I'm just turned 30.
Oh, is that
January.
A milestone?
Yeah.
Why?
Say again?
Why? Did you in your head think, 30?
No. Because I'm healthier now than I was, you know...
In your teens?
In my teens, yeah. Yeah.
But what about love life? There you are.
Love life. Oh, I've got a fantastic girlfriend. She's really supportive. We've been together nearly a year now. And everything's great. And keeping fit and healthy, you know, physical attraction's a big thing, isn't it, for people? So that's what increases your confidence and self-esteem as well, and it helps with that area as well.
So let me just tell our listeners, what Simon's referring to is exercise is good for your sex life.
It can be.
It can be. All right, so tell us about the work of the Walton Centre and where the money you raise will go.
Well, at the moment, they're doing a lot of things at the Walton Centre. They're building, they're getting a new CT scanner, they're getting new beds. They're doing all types of things, and at the moment, they're working out what they're going to use the £60,000 for, but it will be for something major within the hospital. They're running a campaain, or they launched a campaign called the No Limits campaign,
That's your phrase, isn't it? No limits.
No limits. Yeah, that's. I'm now the face of that campaign, and it was launched because I've done my triathlon. And it's all basically to raise funds for the hospital, and to get members to join the hospital, to take the hospital to Foundation Trust level.
Why did you want to do that? Why didn't you just think, great, they've helped me, and off I go into the sunset?
Because
it must take a lot of time and energy.
What doing the whole thing, it does. I've changed my focus. I've put a lot of things on hold. I've put my career on hold to do this.
What, as a motivational speaker?
No, that's all come about because of this. I've got my own design and development company. So
blimey!
But because I've done the triathlon, I got asked to speak at certain places and. You know, I've got a passion for it, and I do a lot of motivational speaking now, and I do a lot of coaching, elite performance coaching. And
so hang on, Simon. Let me get this right. You've got your own company which does design,
yeah.
And the motivational speaking came out, I guess, roundabout because of your illness, because of your association with the Walton Centre.
It came about because I've done the triathlon. And because of everything that happened with the triathlon, the publicity and everything, a lot of people wanted to hear my story. They found
Isn't it interesting how one thing comes out of another?
Yeah, it is. But I've got a passion for that, and I've addressed audiences for companies and you know, the annual general meeting at the Walton Centre, and it's starting to really become a thing that I do quite a lot of now. When I talk about my story and talk about how I use fitness and what I've done to overcome things and what I do now to move forward, it's inspiring a lot of people and helping them move forward, which is what I've got a passion for, really.
Now, what kind of training regime have you set yourself to prepare for the big run in April? What are you doing at the moment?
I'm doing three types of training at the moment. I'm doing interval training. This is all running. I'm doing interval training, so... You know, I'll do a 40-minute spout on the run machine, 7.5 miles an hour for a minute, and then 10.5 miles for a minute, up and down like that for 40 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm hoping to get that up to about an hour and a half.
Right.
I'm doing road running and just making the distances further. So I think I'm up to about 6 or 7 miles at a time at the moment.
Right.
And then I'm doing the third type of training, which is just the basic. 40-minute to an hour run on the running machine, just at a nice steady pace, just to burn the calories and get me.
You're still doing the weight training?
I am integrating some weight training, but not as much because it's all based around my endurance.
Yeah.
So So I do the weight training because obviously I want to keep the shape that I've got.
Yeah. And
it does help burn calories and build you in, you know, your core. But
and
a lot of it is just cardiovascular and running at the moment.
So even in the bad weather, in the snow, in the sleet, in the rain, you're out there running?
Been in everything. Everything. me motto is train hard in training so it's easy on the day.
Right.
So I make it as hard as I can while I'm training so that on the day it's easy.
Well, on the days.
It's easy.
How long do you reckon it'll take you?
I was going to average about 10 miles a day.
Right.
But since, you know, training where I'm training, I'm training over at Executive Fitness in Liverpool now.
Right.
They're supporting me with me training, with me diet, with everything. They're being really, really supportive.
Good for them.
The trainers are basically saying, do you reckon I can get up to about 15 to 20 a day? Looking at my fitness levels now. But there's two major advantages I've got, to be honest, Tricia. Because of my condition, the first thing is I've had that much brain surgery and I've had that much pain, if you like.
Yeah. Good with pain, are you?
Yeah. My brain's got a really good mechanism to block it out.
Ah.
So I've never hit this wall that people talk about.
Haven't you?
No.
So you've got to be careful you don't injure yourself.
No. I've just never hit the wall. I don't know when. I've never actually done the test of when I would stop.
So how long do you think the whole thing will take you?
About 12 weeks.
12 weeks?
Yeah, ish.
Oh. And then, are you excited about it?
I am very excited. I can't wait. It's going to be a fantastic journey. Who gets to do that?
Yeah.
You know, the places I'm going to see, the people I'm going to meet, and being able to say, you know, that I've jogged from Land's End to John O'Groats.
Well, we should tell people what they can do to support you.
Yeah.
Because they can donate money online. We mustn't forget that this is money to go towards the Walton Centre. It's www.simonlannan.com.
Yeah.
And people can also phone, can't they? They can contact Zoe Graham at the Walton Centre.
Yeah.
And the number's 0151 529 5612. That's 0151 529 5612.
Yeah.
Or again, www.simonlannan.com to donate money.
Yeah.
Lots of money.
Yeah.
Simon, it's been fantastic talking to you.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you. You are inspirational. So anyone out there listening who is thinking at the moment, I can't, what's your message to them, Simon?
You can. You can. Email me. All my contact details are on the website.
Yeah.
If anybody wants any pointers or, you know, any advice or anything like that, then all my details are on the website. They can always email me.
Brilliant.
And I'll get back to them. Not a problem.
Okay. Thank you so much, Simon. Good luck.
Thank you.
You don't need luck.
No.
You just need decent weather. You're listening to Talk to Tricia here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.